Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Grace Ranch. For those of you online, we're pleased to have you join us. This is day five of this year's Ministers Convention. Let's praise the Lord. Amen. Get our focus on Him. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we just thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy that you have shown to each of us. And I just pray, Lord, that you will incline each of our hearts unto you to return that love you have shown unto us, unto you, and may we receive wisdom and instruction that we may do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Trying to find where it is. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome in the world. And we just sang that song, Yes, Lord. On the bottom, the last bottom verse, it's... I got the wrong word, is it? There, I want this one. It says, I'm pressed, but not crushed. Persecuted, not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. I'm blessed beyond the curse, and his promise will endure. For his joy is going to be my strength. Though the darkness may last for a night, his joy comes in the morning. And I've watched a lot of people being crushed, going through tribulation, battling with themselves. If you put your eyes on Jesus, you can have that peace that he gives us. You can have that joy that he gives us, because he's overcome the world. And then if we are in Jesus, we have overcome the world. So when you sing this song, make it a prayer and mean it. I'm trading my sorrows, and I'm trading my shame, and I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, and I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord.
There's a statement that's been going through my mind for the last couple weeks, and I just feel I want to share it. I want to be the type of Christian, when I wake up in the morning, put my feet on the floor, the devil says, oh no, she's up. And I was thinking about, how do you get to that point? First thing in the morning, I just thank the Lord for giving me another day to get it right. And so we're going to do kind of a, let's go back to basics a little bit. And this is not something everybody has to do in the order I give it or anything else. You do what works for you. But when you get up in the morning, pray. Ask the Lord to guide your day. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. Pray for your children. Pray for your ministers, your disciples, the people that are over you in the ministry. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Ask the Lord, is there something specific you need to pray for each one of them? Don't forget, we need each other's prayers to stay strong. Don't forget to praise him throughout your day. You thank him for the things that he's done for you. Praise him for being our Lord and for loving us enough to die on the cross for us. Don't forget to put on your armor. We have that available. And throughout the day, there's so many distractions, and we have to fight sometimes to bring our mind back to focus on him. You know, that's a struggle sometimes. We just get too busy. Things are going on around us. But we have to spend the day. We focus on him. And then we go out. Ask the Lord to show you opportunities to share his word, to share his love, to share his joy. And he will present those opportunities to you if you watch for them. He's not going to slap you upside the head and say, talk to this guy. But there's that, you just know that you're supposed to say something to someone. Don't hesitate. We've talked about throughout the meeting pride stopping us from talking to people because of how they may think. what they may think of us. We can't let that get in the way. We need to be the type of Christian that when we wake up in the morning and put our feet on the floor, devil says, oh no, she's up.
Well, Ann, I was going to talk about what Ann talked about. So I'll talk about something else. The first thing I was thinking about was when I was asked to preach is I know that we need to keep our eyes on the Lord, and that's what Ann talked about. And another aspect of it is in Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6 and 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. This is something that is a wonderful thing to do because we know we need to lean on his understanding because our understanding is worthless. That the Lord's, it talks about in, I think it's in Isaiah, that the Lord's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And we always think we have a better way. And that gets us down. It usually causes problems with me when I do that. So trust in him with all thine heart. And don't think about, just lift it up to him. He'll give you the answer. And sometimes it's not the answer you want to hear, but it is the right answer that he gives you. And in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In the morning, when I'm praying in the morning, I ask the Lord to direct my paths and for me to do what he wants me to do that day. I know that as I have come out here and living out here at the ranch now, the Lord, you know, directs my paths more than when I was back in Vermont because I had other things going on there. Here, I can focus on Jesus more. And it's good for me because of the way I am, my personality. I need the Lord to direct my paths. I know we all need that, but especially. And be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's a clear thing we need to do is fear the Lord. There's not a lot of fear in the Lord out there in the world. People think they've got it all figured out. They've got, you know, the intelligent people of the world got everything figured out. Even the Bible, they got it figured out. But the Lord gives us the understanding of the Bible. And we need to, I think it says in Proverbs too, that we need to, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And that's where, you know, the Lord gives us knowledge through himself, not through anything else that we can get knowledge from. I don't want to talk with my hands, so I'll do this. So fear of the Lord is an important aspect that I know I need to get right. And as we've been talking about this week, the time is getting short, time to get it right. And like Scott was talking about last night, that revival starts with your heart right there. We can't think that we're going to get anything, help anyone else before we get it right ourselves. And that's going to be my focus from here on out, from this time forward, to get it right with myself so that I can go out and help others.
I would like to read from John 21, starting with verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Let me read it one more time. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, agape me more than these. He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I philios thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, agape me. He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I philios thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, philios me. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Philios thou me. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I philios thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. I've noticed this week, Steve, Davey, Scott, Charlie, Rick, generally the men, are up here saying, agape one another. And then I hear in the after meeting a lot of women and men alike, yes, we need to philios one another. And I have heard them say, yes, we need to agape one another. But for the most part, it's, yes, you're right, we need to philios one another. And the two are not the same. One is emotion and feelings, and the other is a decision. It is, I read in Strong's, it can be considered an obligation, a duty. Loving someone the way the Lord has commanded us is not making them feel good, making us feel good, doing things for them that really make us feel good because we're loving them. It's standing in the truth. It's telling them what they need to hear. It's not accepting their garbage when you know that it's against the word. It's telling them when they're wrong. It is loving them and accepting them through it. That's where the long suffering comes in, is that you don't give up on them. You don't get angry with them unless they need it. You stay through, you help them out, you tell them the truth that they desperately need to hear. And we need to work on agape-ing one another.
Amen. When Steve said I was going to be speaking, the verse that came to my mind was one we heard this week in Romans 12, verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. We'll come back to that in just a minute. But Ephesians 4, verse 16. Reads, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Steve has talked in the past about the body and different parts and how every part has a function to play. And one of the best examples to me as a nurse is the difference between the artery and the heart. The artery is pumping all the time, depending on who you are, somewhere between 60 and 120 times a minute. It's busy, 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 go, go, go. The artery is just a vessel. It just sits there and lets the blood go through it. both of them are necessary. And here, if you look around, you will see a body working. Everybody, well, not everyone, I don't want to put that on anyone, but a lot of people have something of a cold of some sort. So there are a lot of people who aren't feeling in ship shape. And yet, we have. I'm going to go around the room and point out a couple of jobs that people do. We have the tech people. We have, not sure, we have the people who look after children. We have those who carry out the garbage. Imagine if they didn't do their job. It would be smelly, you know? This is Texas, it's hot. And all that food going, yeah, you can follow that one, but it's an important job. Tristan's taking to checking that everyone's got water. This is the desert. That's an important job. We've got the folks in the kitchen. By golly, we could all do with some good nourishment. Everyone's got a job. We've got the guys working on machines to make them runnable so we can leave the camp and go into the world. These are all important jobs. We've got those who sing up here. Important jobs. We've got a head who submits to the Lord Jesus, who gives us direction so that we can work together and fulfill the functions that need to be done. And when we don't do it, I didn't do it this morning. We're in music practice. It's practice. You're running through things, and I wasn't listening. So I had to go back and say, are we doing this or are we doing that? If I'd been listening, that would have been unnecessary. I would have heard it the first time. We all have a part to play. We need to take the instruction given to us regarding what it is to be done and go ahead and do it. And it is a beautiful thing to see a body working together right. Have a look as you spend the next, you know, the rest of the day or what have you. Just look and see how many different jobs are being performed by different people. And recognize that your job, however small it may seem, is not small. It is a part. Even if you're the artery and you're just allowing the blood to flow, that is an integral, important part of the body. So we all have a part to play. Trust the Lord, seek Him how you can partake and fulfill that which He has given to you.
Praise the Lord. You guys stopped that one a little quicker than I had anticipated. Give a cheer to the ladies. I think the word they brought forth was helpful. I mean, is that you giving a cheer to yourself over there? Yes. Well, praise God. I'm not going to keep you long this morning. I want to begin by giving you a homework assignment. Yeah. You know, we've talked about, and we know each of us, that in order to go forward and heed the word we've heard this week, we're going to be different than when we got here this week. And, you know, we've talked about a lot of good things about keeping our eyes on the Lord and loving one another and these things, and all of those are important lessons. And we're going to go, you know, those will be our focus. But I also want to go through some of the reasons why some of the things we've got going on have been going on. Because if I'm not mistaken, I'm kind of hoping that people would prefer to get free of these things that have been plaguing them for years rather than to keep hanging on to them. So the homework assignment is, I'd like you to read Deuteronomy's chapters 7 to 11. I'm not saying you can't go beyond that. I mean, Deuteronomy's a great book, like I said, but 7 to 11 lays out some things that go with that mission of the children of Israel going into the promised land. It goes how they're to treat their enemies. It goes into what's going to happen if they don't treat their enemies with the proper vehemence. And I share this with you because some of the issues that folks have had, you're going to, as you read these things, the Lord's going to begin opening up now as to the relationship between those things that you've got going on that have been longstanding problems and why they've been going on. You're also, as you go through those things, it's going to hit on issues relating to the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is a very important thing, and people frequently miss it. For example, this week we had Asher here. Asher didn't have a fear of the Lord. Now, one of the things is that when you see people who do not operate in the fear of the Lord, they do not heed the admonition of those who the Lord has set up in authority. That's that Romans 13 we are talking about. Instead, they resist it, not realizing that as they resist it, they receive damnation. They don't even realize it. Completely oblivious to that fact. And these are there for our examples, but a lot of times we don't see them as such. You know, when you go through and you read Deuteronomy 7 to 11 and Moses starts going over some of the things that these people had observed, like the earth opening up and swallowing people and their families and all their substance and some of the different things that had come down in the judgments of God against Israelites, let alone the nations that had held them in captivity. Those things are, those were there so that the people would develop a proper fear of God and cleave unto Him. Because the fact of the matter is, their parents didn't have it. And because of it, their parents were never able to enter in. And now they were having to go and take on a mightier enemy. And they were going to have to go confront them themselves. When the parents came out, they didn't confront Pharaoh. Moses did. But when they were going into the promised land, now they were going to have to confront these enemies. And if they shrank back and failed to confront them, the enemies that remained, the Lord said, were going to destroy them. They were going to be the reason why they would be cast out. And why it took over 2,000 years for Israel to be regathered together, which in and of itself is a miracle and a demonstration of the grace of the Lord. So I want you to read through those scriptures, and we're going to go through and tie them into some things you've read in the New Testament that are going to be important for us getting free of this stuff. Because if you listen to Scott's sermon last night, if the revival doesn't begin with you, if you don't walk in Christ's victory, how can you minister Christ's victory unto another? So some of these things aren't going to be the most pleasant things, but they're needful, and they're things that will set you free if you can receive them. And that's why I want you to read them. Two other quick points that I just want to hit on. One is, I thought it was interesting, and I like the way you did the Peter scenario there in John. And I liked how you related it to us. Because, I mean, that's all too often the thing. I mean, you can see it a lot of times in worship, folks. You see it. Worship, I mean, whether you're at a rock concert, you know, dancing and singing and stuff like that's fun to do, whether you're at a rock concert or whether you're or a country music festival or whether you're here in this place. But worship needs to be real. It says, those that worship me in spirit and in truth. All right, the words of the songs that we sing that we worship the Lord to are words that can help you to win the battle if you apply them properly. Let's take something like, we bring the sacrifice of praise. All right, people here, we're day five of this conference. You got people who are tired. You got people who may be a little sick. You got people who are in different things. So you don't feel like worshiping in the same way you might have on Monday afternoon. But it's a decision on your part to do so. And in that decision comes not just an element of singing the words to the songs. That's really not what it's about. The decision is you are going to worship the Lord, for He is worthy of all your praise. You follow what I'm saying? It does not matter how I feel right now. He is worthy of all my praise. What He has done and continues to do is something that I must worship Him for. I must express my thanksgiving. I must not give place to any carnal thing that would seek to keep me from standing in that. And when you have that kind of attitude in it, I tell you, you become militant. You know, I think last year I talked a little bit about how in the military, music was very important in the military historically. And it was important for a number of reasons. One of the things was is that you could actually hear things. I mean, in the midst of battle, you could hear a trumpet sound or a drums roll in a manner that was different than all the gunfire that was going on around you and everything, or the whistle blow. And that meant you were to come up out of the trenches and start running at the enemy. And they used these things. But the music also was an important element in encouraging yourself into the battle. Because a lot of times the soldiers, as they went forth, did not know whether this would be their last one. They didn't know if they were ever going to make it through. And they had to make a determination that they were going to go forward, even if it meant they were never going back. And that's the kind of grit and determination that if we're going to defeat our enemies, which hate us with a cruel hatred, that we're going to have. You cannot be worried about yourself in the midst of that. And so these songs, if you take them in the right attitude, can really help you to go forward, help you to break the chains that hold you up, and to enter into that throne room of God by the grace of the Lord and through the blood of the Lamb, that you can receive that help that you have need of in time of struggle. And we all need that. And sometimes we don't feel strong in it. And this is one of those elements that what Ann was talking about becomes so important. When we love one another and our focus isn't on our own problems, it's easy to see target-rich prayer opportunities for others. It's easy to see them because you can see when people are struggling. It's really not that hard. I mean, we don't hide it very well when we're struggling. It's pretty obvious if you actually care to see. And so what happens is when you see that, love moves you to pray for these people. And a lot of times, the truth of the matter is, you don't feel like praying. You got something going on that makes you feel like, well, I mean, I got all this stuff going on. And, all my prayers, I mean, just to get through this, I need all my prayers just for myself. You know what I'm saying? Let alone think of anybody else. But the fact of the matter is that, no, our job is to love others before ourselves. And so what happens is it's like a sacrifice of prayer when you get into that place. And Anne brought it up from the perspective of, Lord, show me, you know, what I can pray for my brothers and sisters. And so you begin, as you do that, the Lord is faithful to show you. And your prayer life gets enriched. And as you watch and see the Lord move in accordance with your prayers, then your life and your faith is enriched and it grows. You want to pray more because you can't wait to see what he does next time. You know what I'm saying? But you got to get your eyes off of yourself in order to do that. And the other thing about, you know, turning back to what Mel was talking about here in that agape versus philios, in that agape, every man speaks truth to his neighbor. You're not concerned about people's feelings. You're concerned about their relationship with the Lord. That's what you're concerned about. And so you will speak truth to your neighbor rather than lying to him. And face it, I mean, to be honest with you, a lot of you, when you come to me with questions, where you're in a quandary about what to say, it's because you are philiosing the person and are afraid of agape-ing them. It's what it really comes down to a lot of the times, because you're in a quandary because if I tell them that, they may not like me, or they may think ill of me, or they may, all of these different types of things. Isn't that the truth? So you're afraid to say something because you want them to still philios you. Please philios me. Don't be angry with me for telling you the truth. You follow what I'm saying? It's really that, because we're really concerned about what they'll think of us, and therefore you come to somebody else, and then what all too often happens is it'll be, well, Steve said, or Davey said, which is even worse. You know, look, if you agree with what Steve said or with what Davey said, then say it yourself. If you don't agree, don't say it. Don't go around telling people that such and such said it. Just say it. But they might not like me. So that every man speaketh truth to his neighbor, that'll help us a lot right here in the fellowship. If we just determine that we're going to speak truth to our neighbor. The other thing is, if you, in what she was, what Melanie was talking about in there, I think it's interesting that every single time Jesus, he says, feed my lambs, which are the children, basically, the young ones. Then he says, feed my sheep, and he says, feed my sheep again. And in other words, he's going to be serving others if he loves Jesus. Right? He's not going to be serving himself of his position and authority, which is why they wanted to sit on the right hand and on the left. We're going to be really important. Yeah. No, if you love me, serve these others. Right? And then it's interesting thing at the end of that, he then goes in and tells Peter what manner of death he's going to experience. Peter didn't think this was such good news. What about John? He says, what's it to you? What about John? If he lives till I come. You follow what I'm saying, folks? I mean, the truth of the matter is that Peter did not yet agape the Lord. But the encouraging thing for each of us is, you know what? You read 2 Peter, he was now ready to be offered up and to put off that tabernacle, even as the Lord had shown him, which is the scripture you were reading from, though you didn't read quite down that far. So he got there. God wants us to succeed. He wants us to get to these places. But some of the lessons we're going to have to learn to get to these places may not feel that good. So I want you to read Deuteronomy 7 to 11 tonight, and I want you to really seek the Lord, because let's get free. Amen? Let's get free. Let's not resist the truth anymore. Let's welcome it. Amen? I think, I'm not sure if Brother Richard's coming out to say a word or if he's coming out to play the drums.
How about both?
Praise God.
Yo, Steve, I remember years ago when I'd read in the book, Fear of the Lord, and I would ask the pastors back then, what's it mean to fear the Lord? It's amazing they all come up with the same thing. It's to hold in honor and respect. Somehow or another, that didn't fit right. I found out about the Strong's Concordance. Looked up the word fear. It means to stand in terror of. To be terrified. How many people are terrified of the Lord in the church today? We got one guy ready to stand. He's got a reason to be terrified. He came very close to death. See, what was it Jesus said? Fear not him who has power to kill the body, that's all. Fear him who hath power to kill both the body and kill the soul. Cast the soul into hell, which is the second death. I mean, all man can do is kill my body. But God can send you to hell. And it's your choice. It's your choice.
Running off of what Steve and Melanie were talking about, let's take these next set of songs, turn them into prayers, decisions, and choices, regardless of what's going on, with the right kind of love.
Cheryl, do you have another one? Yesterday, you were all upset with me for not asking.
That was then. This is now.
This is now.
What should we do? Oh, I know what we can do.
Praise God.
It's not your typical song, though. We're kind of going to go a cappella. Okay. And a one, a two, a one, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Megan. Happy birthday to you.
Well, that was good, Cheryl. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Praise the Lord. All right, folks, well, let's head on over to the kitchen for our after meeting. And for those who are online, read Deuteronomy 7 to 11 and come join us tonight. And we'll look forward to catching up with you then. May the Lord bless you. Bye.